everybody, this is Ellie, but like the festive version.
And this is Jesse, and again, the festive version. And this is our very festive episode of All Ideas Are Bad Ideas.
The podcast about the things that we believe in our hearts to be perfect, but know in our minds are fundamentally flawed.
Our bad ideas focus for this week is the Santa Claus.
I don't know the theme song.
It's like
Santa.
A Christmas thing. I don't know that it has like a theme song. It's just Christmassy bells.
Bad idea number one, Santa Claus. Why do you not have a theme song? Every movie has like a reasonably discernible theme song.
Most do. You'd be surprised at the like structure of soundtracks I have to go through for some of these episodes, though, to find the song that's suitably reminiscent of whatever we're talking about.
Dumb.
Yeah.
All right, soundtrack makers, we have a quest for you. Just please give them, like, a song. All movies. A song.
Just one. Just
one.
Like the one that you play at the beginning, the very beginning.
Play it over the credits, and we'll all know. We'll be like, this is the song. And then 23 long years after the movie is released, when people try to talk about it, they'll be like, right, that is the song, because the Santa Claus, somehow, if you did not realize this, was indeed released 23 years ago, in the year of our Lord 1994.
Which means it's as old as Ellie, and older than I am.
So
it's
that's
weird to think about.
Disturbing.
It's very strange.
That's my first bad idea, that time is extant, and how is the Santa Claus that old? That's my personal, like, first bad idea, anyway.
Yeah, when Ellie was watching it, she texted me and she's like, I just realized that the little kid in the Santa Claus is definitely older than we are. And I was like, that's a thought.
Yep, he's as old as a dude that I work with that I make fun of for being old on the regular. So
it's
that
true.
Was like a, that was like a moment in my life that I was just like sitting there. And I was like, huh, he's old now. He's an adult who adults. I wonder if he still believes in Santa. I feel like he has to. Like, his father is the Claus.
Right, well, you can't get away from it. I mean, every Christmas,
yeah,
your dad comes down the chimney as Santa.
And
you
it's
can't
just like,
be like, no, Dad, I don't believe you exist anymore.
I don't believe that I have a father. Although it would be a very entertaining way to end all of your arguments. Like, you know what, Dad? I don't believe in you anymore, Charlie, at like 18. Angrily,
That was kind of what, like, the Santa Claus 3 had, like,
I think
weird
it's the plot
angsty
of two.
Teen.
Oh, yeah, when
two
they have the
already hit angsty teen Charlie.
Ultimate, like, Christmas, they do, number two, the Santa Claus 2, which I don't think has a subtitle, which is weird, because
no,
the third one.
It's just the Santa Claus 2, that's
which
it.
Which is weird, because the third one is the Santa Claus 3, the escape clause. But anyway, I just wanted to talk about how the second one does indeed have a theme song, because it's Be Nice, Not Naughty, cause Santa Knows Karate, which I think about every time I think about the Santa Claus. And then I have to imagine Tim Allen dressed as the Santa Claus, like, doing karate, and it's the best mental image that you could ever bring to your life. Like,
this is the true spirit of Christmas.
Did you just say this was the true spirit of Christmas? Because I hope you did. Good. Excellent. Santa Claus chopping down your damn tree with just a really, like, awesome, like, one-inch punch. Like, what?
Yeah, with the jelly belly. That's how it goes.
It jiggles when he laughs and when he gives you a roundhouse kick to the face.
It's true.
Okay.
So, we are way off topic. Anyway,
yep,
back to
I'm
Santa
sorry.
Claus, the original.
So the Santa Claus original. No, Santas that know karate yet.
Yeah.
But
although they did have a whole elf flight squad and that, like, intense, like, walk down the, like, hallway as they were prepping for
can
Christmas,
I,
which, small bad
idea. Can I just
idea.
Go ahead and say that is the bad idea? Like, that's, like, synchronized dance
yeah,
moment
no,
where they, like,
so bad.
Pump their forearms
it's like,
forward.
Because it's not, like, a dramatic
necessary?
Walk is one thing, but they added in the synchronized dance. And, like, it's not even a whole dance. It's not like they danced their way down the hallway. They walked.
No,
they
like,
did, like,
walked
three
really
awkward movements, and then they kept walking.
It's beautiful and awful all in one fell swoop. I guess that is the moment when Santa began to learn karate with his, like...
Yeah, with the weird jabby dance motions.
Yeah, it's a punch. A really bad karate punch.
The elves were kind of half-hearted about it. I don't understand what the point of that was. They were trying to look cool. They probably were.
They did not succeed.
Yeah, that leads me into a series of bad ideas from this movie, I guess. You know, we try not to judge here too hard on the time that these kind of things were made and the effects and the, you know, fashions they're in. But sometimes I feel more justified in doing that because I did live during the 90s, even as a small child. And there were some rough things happening in the 90s, looks-wise and humor-wise. The whole trying to be cool thing, the 2000s took that and kind of made it into this ironic thing, which I think is why we feel so kind of weird about it now. But, like, it was, kid stuff in the 90s, a little bit rough.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it comes across in this movie, particularly in the costuming, like, the way the characters are dressed just is strange. Like, they've tried too hard to make, like, they want the elves to look like elves, but they don't really want the elves to look like elves because, like, you know, there's that scene where they're talking about the Panzer toy or whatever, and, like, there's all the little, like, elves in the image.
Green suits and...
Yeah, and, like, you know, the Tim Allen Claus gets really offended and is like, that's not what the elves look like. And you're like, but why is that not what the elves look like? Like, I feel like that's what we've always thought elves looked like. But they've tried to make the elves, like, cooler by dressing them like 19th century Russians and medieval peasants. Like,
but they're not consistent with that. Because, like, Judy, one of the elves, is wearing, like a Christmas dress with, like, the most segments possible and like star covered like leggings before leggings were even like a thing, so it's like this weird amalgamation of like all these elves look very different. And like I think they did a good job, like, because they wanted to make them all children but not seem like children, and the actors did a good job with that, like they come across as kind of these like child looking but not children kind of creatures, and that's kind of cool. But like you said, the costuming is where it kind of falls flat. You're like, what is going on in this North Pole area? We'd have no cohesion whatsoever.
Which is, like, I guess on the one hand, like, you could take it as, like, oh, the elves, like, all, you know, they've been around for so long that they've just sort of been acquiring clothing and now they just kind of wear it. But, like, if that were the case, like, it would make more sense if more of them were dressed in stuff that was more modern anyway. Because, like...
Also, you never see any of them go out of the North Pole except Bernard.
Like, and the elf squad.
And the elf squad, but they're, like, a retrieval specialist team.
Right.
But, like, you know, but, like, you don't see them, like, going out, so, like, they wouldn't even know what fashions are like at that point in time. You know? And, like, Bernard doesn't seem have, to like, give a titties? Shit. He just, like, shows up and then disappears.
Yeah. Bernard randomly. Gives the least shit, as evidenced by his heinous hairdo.
Ugh.
Can we just take, like, a moment to, focus in on what the heck Bernard's hair... It's, like... fake baby dreadlocks.
Yeah, they're real thin. They're real dark. They're not like tied. They're like
crazy.
And they're all stuck under a hat.
Right.
Like
they're bad.
I don't know what the goal was there. Like what look were they going for? Was he supposed to be like the rough and tumble hip hop elf? Like I don't understand.
And if that's the case, again, like I just don't like wouldn't they have given him like a more aggressive hairdo? Like, I feel like... I don't know.
He's apathy incarnate, which, like, I love him as a character. I think Bernard is hilarious. Like, he's the funniest.
Bernard is my favorite elf.
But, like, you could definitely have done better with his look then. To just exude more of that characteristic or something. Or, like, be less strange. I don't know.
Or, like, shove a Halloween Rasta hat on his head and be like, this is who you are now. Like...
Yeah.
That was odd.
I mean, he's probably the worst hairdo in the movie, but he's definitely not the only questionable one. I mean, Charlie's bowl cut.
Poor child.
He's such a cute kid, but then, like, the bowl cut is just... You feel so bad for him. Like, why? Who just stuck a bowl on your head, kid?
Well, and, like, It's doing this other weird thing where, like, his bangs aren't uniformly thick because he's very clearly got, like, a part that runs down the center of his head, but they've still tried to, like, force them to lay down on his forehead. And it's like, poor little Charlie. Right.
Well, and you know, because this is a movie, I mean, there was a whole hairdressing team assigned to these people that are trained to make them look the best that they humanly can with whatever style they're trying to achieve. So that was literally the best that kid could look with a bowl cut. And they decided to do it anyways. They're like, Charlie. Yeah, this will be good.
The poor Charlie. Poor Charlie.
Yeah, poor Charlie. He as a character has very few bad ideas in this movie. We're not going to talk about the sequels in depth, but I would just like to mention that his character in this movie is so much better than his character in the other.
Than in any subsequent film.
Just going to put that out there. Charlie here, good idea. Charlie anywhere else, bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, I think you, just to, like, expand on it, I think that the sequels will come up more in the discussion of this film because of the way, like, it's a franchise, like, where very much, like, if you don't know what happened in the film before, like, the next one doesn't make a ton of sense. Oh,
it'll make zero sense. Yeah.
So, like, which is odd because it's, like, a children's franchise. Usually you could sort of jump into them and be like, yeah, that's what's happening. But, like, in this one, you'd be like, why is this man and his ex-wife? And that's...
Right.
Well, they're kids.
It's very odd because for children's movies, children's and families movies like this, and especially Christmas movies, they're not usually establishing movies. They're usually kind of a movie standalone. In their own right. Yeah. And so then, even if they have one afterwards, they still stand alone as their own movie. Like, it doesn't necessarily matter. Like, Home Alone had, like, you know, so many sequels, but it's its own movie. Like, it doesn't establish anything that would lead on to the next one necessarily. They just made one anyways. But this one is like an origin story. I mean, it's practically the origin of the current Santa Claus. And so they had to do all this establishing stuff. Like, here's Scott Calvin, and here's the North Pole, and here's his whole job, and here's how he became Santa Claus. And so by the end, you like... It's basically the end of an origin story. Like, he only got to be Santa Claus at the very end of the movie, a fact which I will touch on again later. But, like, so then the sequels are important because they are that kind of fallout that you don't get from this movie. Like, this movie is all lead up and then Christmas. You don't get any of the after. You don't get any of, well, what happens now that he's Santa and his wife knows? What happens now that he's Santa and he apparently quit his job? Like, you don't get any of that in this movie. That's what you get in the other movies, which is why they're important.
It's bizarre, though, because they also hit as an afterthought, right? Like, the Santa Claus 2, like, it didn't come out until 8 years after this movie. Like, the Santa Claus 2 came out, it can't have only been 8. Yes, it can. Duh. The movie came out the same year I was born. I was like, the movie came out when I was 8. How did they? And I was trying to do math in my head, and then I was like, wait. They came out. You were born the year that the Santa Claus came out, and then it. Anyway. But, like, that's a very long gap. And it's why. And then, like. But then the third one comes out, like, 4 years after that. So I feel like the Santa Claus 2 and the Santa Claus 3, the Escape Clause, which we've touched on before. Why does the middle one not have a subtitle? Right. But anyway. Like. They go together. Like, they have the same feel, they have the same look, they very much fit. Whereas, like, the first Santa Claus movie doesn't. And I think that's why the sequels come up so frequently, because on the one hand, they do build so heavily on this origin story film. But on the other hand, like, they're a very different feeling movie. Like, both of them are very different feeling.
Well, because they're a very different franchise, almost. Like, it's like this movie was made and then... Because it was much later, it's almost like a reboot. It's almost like when somebody takes a television show from, like, the 80s and makes a movie about what happens afterwards, you know? Like, I'm looking at you, the Knight Rider movie that came out in the 2000s. But, like, you know, like, it felt separate in that way because there was so much distance, and it was obvious that there wasn't originally a sequel planned for this movie. Like, it's not like they made the Santa Claus and they're like, okay, we're going to have this establishing origin movie, and then we're going to have this other Christmas movie come out later that's, like, the Santa Claus. Like, that's not what happened.
It's strange because it doesn't, I think part of the reason it feels so weird is because they saw, like, the Santa Claus did very, very well, and then, like, people really enjoyed it, and blah, 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 and then it, like, spawned these other two movies. And I think one thing that, like, sort of proves the, like, 2 and 3 feel very much like a franchise, and 1 is just sort of out there on its own, is that if you've ever, like, noticed every year around the holidays, you can always see the Santa Claus 2 and the Santa Claus 3. Like, they're on all the time. Like, it's on every channel, everyone plays them a million times, but, like, finding the Santa Claus playing is really hard. Like, they don't play the origin story because it doesn't fit with what the Santa Claus franchise became.
Right, and everybody already knows it, so it's easier to just play the other ones and, you know, you don't have to backtrack, really, because they kind of do stand on their own. But, like, you need the knowledge. Like, if I'd imagine if you were a kid watching the Santa Claus 2, some parts would not make much sense to you because you wouldn't understand that Scott wasn't always Santa Claus. And that's, like, a crucial kind of knowledge to have. But, like, other than that, like, you don't necessarily need to watch the Santa Claus to get the other two. It is weirdly separate, and that's definitely a bad idea as far as just the movies
like
go.
Full franchise go. Right. And, like, I think it's, but, like, I think that the weird separateness of it is, like, why the other, like, if you talk about the Santa Claus and you're trying to, like, have a critical lens of, like, things that are plot-wise or chronologically-wise or whatever wrong with the movie, like, the other ones are gonna come up because they're so different, even though they're so related. Like, the characters are all the same, and, like, most, I think all, if not most of the actors are, like, you know, the same actor. Like, Tim Allen comes back to be Santa, and whoever the guy that played Neil was is back to play Neil, and, like,
yeah,
the, like, main people, like, Bernard is back in the second one. Like, they're there.
Right. Well, and speaking of Neil, I'd like to jump to another point that's somewhat tangentially related to this, another bad
idea.
It's
okay, we should discuss Neil.
With, well, Neil, and, what's his wife's name?
I keep wanting to call her Wendy, but I think it's just because she looks like Wendy Torrance in, like, Stanley Kubrick's The Shining movie.
I kept thinking the whole movie that I would know her name, and I don't.
Like, Susan or Jill? It's something very, like, nondescript. Hang on, I'm gonna Google it so Susan. We don't call her something ridiculous for the whole film.
Right, so we don't call her by a different character's name like we did in The Mummy.
Yeah, we're gonna know her name, because I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, anyways, and with Charlie, and, like, so basically his whole family, and part of why the sequels are important is because they touch on bad ideas that this movie kind of creates, one of which is the change in relationships. So the movie starts, right, and Scott Calvin is a divorced father, you know, joint custody of his child, struggling to get his child to even like him because he likes mom better, and Neil, mom's new guy, and, like, so there's that kind of tension, and it makes sense. And then as it goes on, you know, Charlie likes him more and more because he's going on adventures and he's learning to love his father, and his father's starting to be less of a selfish
butthead
kind of, yeah, prick. And so these relationships kind of happen naturally, but it's like the end of the movie feels really weird to me relationship-wise because Scott's, like, kind of embraced that he's Santa Claus, which, like, fine. That's cool. Like, you became the Santa Claus, and we'll talk about that whole thing. But, like, it seemed to, like, change his relationships with people. And, like, Charlie less so, because Charlie liked him, Santa Claus or not. So, like, there was less weirdness with Charlie, because he's a little kid, and he's gonna like his dad, and he's gonna like Santa, and to him they're the same person, and there's very little, like, differentiation there. But, like, his wife is what gets me, because
her name is Laura.
Laura, thank you. Laura already has kind of, like, a child-like relationship and memory of Santa, but the old one. But, like, he is Santa. And Santa, the, like, entity, kind of seems to prevail through all these mortal beings. So, like, at the end of the movie, like, Scott's Santa, and, like, she seems to just kind of take him as Santa and not her ex-husband. Like, not Scott. It's not like she learned to like Scott again.
Scott turned became into Santa,
and she already likes Santa, so now she's cool with him because he's Santa, and that just feels so weird to me. Like, I know, I wish they'd resolved that in a better way, because I feel like that's a really bad idea to, like, oh, well, his problems are solved now because he's Santa, and his wife has a childlike wonder when she sees him. Like, no, that's so
his
weird.
His ex-wife is just over all of their, like, several years of animosity. Like, clearly their relationship is a little bit strange. She's moved on and is married to this new guy, and, like, the new guy and Scott don't get on super well. Like, Neil and Scott clash every time they meet, and, like, suddenly they all like each other, and it's, but they don't really, because, like, they don't like Scott, they like Santa. And, like, in the future, well, they just sort of gloss over that, and, like, it isn't a problem, and, like, the relationship isn't that weird, but, like, at this moment, you've got this weird interaction where these, like, three adults who all had a pretty strained relationship sort of just never resolve the reason that relationship is strained, and in fact, just, like,
yeah,
one of them becomes a different person, literally, right. And then everything is fine.
No, and it's just so weird, because, like, because Scott seems to, I mean, we'll talk about this more, but, like, Scott seems to still be a kind of Scott while he's Santa. Like, because his kind of acceptance of Neil obviously comes a little reluctantly, but for Charlie's sake, he's moving on with his life. So, like, that right. was a normal kind of, like, from his end, Scott to Neil, Scott being like, and Neil, Neil's part of our family now. Like, that was a normal right. adult, like, I've come to terms with this kind of thing. And then Neil just kind of goes a little bit crazy and is like, Santa? Like, when his eyes light up and he says that, I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is a fully grown man that, like, I know you need to show that he believes in Santa again because Santa's standing there right in front of him and he needs to accept the fact that Scott actually did become Santa and this is not some, like, whatever myth thing right. that he's perpetuating in his own mind. But, like, it was just a really weird way to go about it because you felt like Neil had just kind of lost yeah. his marbles. And maybe turn back right. to when he was 3, and that nothing on his end actually got resolved as far as Scott was concerned. He just was happy right. to see Santa. It was just right. really strange.
It just leaves everybody in this weird, like, morass of, like, unresolved problems that have all been swept under the red and white fluffy rug of, like, this man is now Santa.
Yeah. No, it has. So that's it rang as a really bad idea for me. That kind of just weird scene at the end where these relationships are changed because Scott's now Santa.
Yeah, it was odd. It was very odd. I don't... While we're talking about things that didn't get resolved very well, this is extremely minor, but it, like, probably since I was 10, like, watching the Santa Claus, this has bugged me. He doesn't ever, like, actually quit his job. He doesn't yeah. get fired.
Yeah.
He just is gone. Like, what?
They're do like, they all... Hey, like, I need you to go see a doctor. So he goes to see a doctor, and then he decides he's Santa Claus and just absconds. He lives the North Pole for right. at least a month.
Right. Well, and there's this, like, not only does he not quit his job, but, like, he just, like, to all the people that knew him, Scott Calvin has just vanished. Like...
Yeah, he's on his Scott house. Calvin. He's not, like, you don't see him anymore. Like, yeah.
You don't see him sell his house. No, but he doesn't, like, make up a lie. Like, oh, I got a job out of town in Canada or whatever. Like, right. he just, like, is gone. So is there, like, a international manhunt going on for, like, Scott Calvin? Do they think he was, like, kidnapped by the toy mafia and murdered? Like, what? That has just always been really odd to me. Because, like, they don't. Like, Bernard's whole thing when he sends Scott home is, like, you have 11 months to get your affairs in order, and then at Thanksgiving, like, you have to come back, and, like, he does not get his affairs in order. Like, no affairs are right. gotten in order, and it, like...
No, he refuses to get affairs in order. He, like, staunchly, like, does not get his affairs in order until he does, but, like, at the drop of a hat, and then he's not worrying about his affairs. He's, like, going on to be Santa. Yeah, I would, like...
Right,
he... That's... It's such a bad idea. Like, what is his life like? Like, what did he sell his house? Does he still own a house, technically? Like,
right.
what?
Like,
did
what?
He move to the North Pole officially? Did he take furniture? Like, what? What did this entail?
Right. Like, I'm not even, like, I get that it's a kids movie and it's a kids and family movie. And in a lot of ways, like, stuff is not going to get fully explained because there's just not enough right. time.
Which,
but, like,
fair, but you could
have even,
thrown
like,
a, line.
A throwaway, like, line of him, like, nailing a for sale sign into his yard would have made, like, me feel better. Like,
right.
it would have made more sense.
Or, like, coming into his work, like, fully dressed as Santa Claus and being like, see ya. Like, that would have right. been hilarious. That would have been, like, a 2-minute max scene, maybe a 1-minute scene that you could put in the middle of a transition that would have established that he quit his job and also be funny because it's like, hey, he's decided to be Santa Claus. Like...
Yeah,
anything.
It just doesn't make sense. Like, it's confusing and, like, doesn't make sense that he doesn't ever resolve anything. And you're left with, like, a surprising amount of questions, which I, again, like, on the one hand, it's a feel-good children and family movie, so we shouldn't be asking as many questions about it as we are. But on the other hand, like, stuff needs to make sense.
Well, and it's simple fixes. I mean, we're not asking for a half-hour insert in the middle of the film about him trying to, you know, get his affairs in order. We literally just want, like, a minute of something to establish that he did indeed do what he was told. Like, that's
right.
Pretty much it.
Any affairs were ever gotten in order. Not just that, like, the naughty list, the nice and naughty list showed up at his house and then he moved to the North Pole and, like, he still right. has a house. I don't know. It's... It...
No, and it's weird. I want to jump off of... You brought up, like, a manhunt. And I would like to bring up the terrible idea that he has of just of literally kidnapping his own son. Like, at that
point, yeah, I totally forgot that happened.
Rights. Like, they just established he does not have custody rights. If he takes Charlie anywhere, it is legally kidnapping. And, like,
right.
you know, the movie kind of plays it off as, like, well, the movie plays it off in two completely different ways, which is kind of weird to me. Like, on one hand, there's an overreaction. Like, the whole SWAT team, like, cascading on their house with, like, automatic rifles. Like, that was right. weird. He is one man. It's Christmas. You think he's not mentally sound, but he thinks he's Santa Claus. Santa's not going to carry a weapon. Like, what are you doing? Like, what
right.
do you need? You need maybe, like, a police squadron to surround the right. house. And
three
to,
dudes
like,
and maybe some pistols. Right. Like, it'll be fine.
Like, be your normal armed selves, not, like, a whole SWAT team. So, like, on the one hand, they totally overreacted about catching Scott Calvin. But then, like, it became more like catching Scott Calvin than finding the missing kid, too, as it went on, which was really weird. Like, it definitely became yeah. a hunt for Santa Claus, unless, like, we need to get Charlie back, because his dad right. kidnapped him. Like,
right.
so that was super weird. But then, like, on the other hand, like, at the end of the, like, the movie itself, like, from the perspective of Scott and Laura and, like, you know, at the end and everything, they just totally play it off. Like, because, you know, he could take Charlie because he was going to help him prepare for Christmas as Santa Claus because he's his
right.
son. And, like, Laura's like, well, you know, at the end she's like, she reaches an understanding that he actually was Santa Claus and that Charlie was safe all along just at the North Pole. But, like, that, I don't think that that makes it okay. Like, it's still a really
yeah.
bad idea to kidnap your own son without telling your wife anything. You just asked her to speak to him alone and she trusted you enough to do that even though you're not
right.
even supposed to be at their house legally. Like, you're not even
right.
supposed to be initiating contact with your son. And then you just, like, abscond with him. Like, he's just gone. That's
yeah,
such
yeah,
a
there's
bad
not
idea.
Even, like, a note.
No note. No phone call. He never calls. Charlie calls, like, once just because
and,
he feels like it. But, you know, Scott
and Charlie's
never
seven, so it's not like what he says makes any sense.
Yeah,
like, it's not like
he's calling
like,
his mom to tell her all about the fun stuff he's doing and not just to be like, hey, mom, I'm okay, by the way. I'm with dad. Like, no.
Right.
It was just... Ew, it was such a bad idea. Just like, that's actually a crime. I don't care if you're Santa Claus or not. You needed to figure out a different way to do that.
A better way. Well, and it's odd. It's also weird because, like, inside of the movie, it's poorly executed. Like, as a
yeah.
film plot point. Like, he kidnaps his son, and it's, like, kind of a footnote. But, like, not really, because it drives the rest of the plot. But it's definitely, like, no one really deals with the fact that, like, this is a kidnapping in
right.
terms of the North Pole land.
Well, I'm always just blown away by the fact that, like, when they do catch him, like, you know, he comes down the chimney and Charlie's on the roof. And, like, they catch him and they ask him where Charlie is because this is a kidnapping. That's what he's getting arrested for. He's not getting arrested for
right.
being Santa Claus. He's getting arrested for kidnapping Charlie. And they
right.
take him away and they ask him where Charlie is and he says he's on the roof.
And
no
one gets him off the roof.
Look for him. Like, nobody goes to look for Charlie. Nobody's like... Like, I don't know if they just, I don't know if they were supposed to be read as, like, they are dismissive of that because he said the sleigh and they didn't think the sleigh could be on the roof because they don't believe
right.
in Santa. Like, I don't know what the point of that whole thing was, but, like, they literally asked him where the boy was and he told them and then nobody went to go look for this child, the reason they're arresting
right.
this man.
Right. Well, and it's weird because, like, even if they don't believe in the sleigh, they watched him come down the chimney. So, like, they knew he was on the roof.
I don't know that they actually did watch him come down the chimney, though, because you remember, like, they were all kind of converging on the living room, and he was already in front of the tree.
Oh, you're right, you're
I'm
right,
I'm not
you're
sure
right.
they know how he got into the building.
Right.
But
I would
still,
way,
like,
consider
weird.
Checking
just,
that he came from above.
Yeah, it's just the kind of, it's a weird little bad idea in the plot where, like, they really did turn it into more of a hunt for Santa Claus instead of the actual legal reason that all these extremely... armed policemen are after
are
him.
Like descending upon his house
right.
right like descending upon the house because you think that he is like criminally insane and kidnapped a child like that makes more sense
yeah.
but they don't seem to think that by
they,
that
they
point
they're
and
not
so
focused
like
on the right thing they're focused on getting him but they're not focused on the reason that they want to find him which is they want to find this missing child
right and get the kid back
right to his parents so like basically Laura and Neil just watch the SWAT team invade their house, take away Scott, and then they still don't have Charlie. Like, they have no idea where Charlie is. And the police just leave. That's like it. That's like they're done. We're taking them to jail.
Right, the like, one guy is still, like, out in front of the house.
Yeah. No, it's nutso. Like, what are you doing? And nobody seems to question this. It just doesn't make much sense. They didn't execute that well enough.
Right,
it works as a plot point, but it just wasn't done as well as it could have been.
Well, it's like, I feel like if you wanted him to be being harassed or whatever for, like, getting arrested for being Santa Claus, then, like, the plot point shouldn't have been that you took Charlie with you. It should have been that, like, he was breaking into the house to visit Charlie by coming down the roof, right. And then they, like, SWAT team descend on him and arrest him for being Santa. Like,
which
not that he, like, stole Charlie away.
Right, well, and that could have been done really easily because they alluded to that earlier in the movie. Like, at the very beginning of the movie when he's, like, forced into being Santa Claus, like, halfway into a Christmas, and he has no idea what he's doing. Like,
right.
He mentions, like, gunshots and dogs and alarms.
Yeah, there's...
Like, he was basically a burglar for that whole Christmas.
There's a part where a dude tries to shoot him. Like, yeah. And, like, I think that having it be, like, this man is a dangerous criminal, we want to apprehend Santa Claus,
yeah,
makes like, way more sense than, like, this man is a kidnapper.
Right.
Like, they would have, their plot would have rolled better and not been as,
it
like...
It would have been almost exactly the same. It just would have felt better from the police standpoint because you wouldn't be like, this is weird.
Why didn't they get
like,
this
why
child?
Why are we just hunting for Santa Claus and not caring about this kidnapped child? And instead it would be like, yeah, they're hunting down Santa Claus and they know they're going to come to this
breaking
house
into
because
people's
it's his ex-wife's
houses.
House. Like... You know, it would have been better.
It's just odd. I think that it fits in really well with something that you have also brought up about this film, which is just the pacing of the movie is really weird.
Oh,
I think that the whole kidnapping sequence fits in, like, so well. Because, like, it would have... It's 20 minutes of the movie. Like, I paused the movie right when, like, the beginning happened because I had to go do something. And, like, there were... 22 maybe minutes left, and it's an hour and a half long movie, so like the biggest plot point of the entire film, like the thing that is like the drive to the last end as opposed to the other ends, you know, doesn't even start until 20 minutes before the film ends. That is weird.
It definitely is. The pacing hit me, and I don't know why. I think I pay attention to pacing in movies and in films and stuff more than maybe other people do. But it definitely struck me as odd because, I mean, as an origin story, it is not unusual for most of the movie to be taken up with the process of him becoming Santa Claus. Like, that makes sense to me. The fact that, like, a large chunk of this movie is not going to be him as Santa Claus. It's going to be him as Scott Calvin... gaining weight, growing facial hair, struggling in his job, struggling with Charlie, struggling to kind of reconcile the idea that, like, he's not entirely sure whether this actually physically happened or not.
Right.
And what he's going to do about it if it is real, because that's crazy. Like, so it's not like the pacing for most of the movie is flawed. It's just that it's too different from the pacing at the end of the movie. Like, if you were going to make this happen... the way that you did, you either needed to stretch out those last 20 minutes or make the rest of the movie a little faster. Like, make him go through becoming Santa Claus a little bit quicker. Because, like, it felt really weird to have so much of the movie taken up by this kind of gradual understanding of him being Santa Claus, and then suddenly something happens and he's at the North Pole and they're making Christmas happen, and like he has Charlie with him and they're making designs for the sleigh and they're working with the elves, and then it's Christmas and Christmas is going down and then he's getting arrested, and it's like, and all this happens like literally in that last 20 minutes, and it just feels so weird because, you know, the pacing's so different. It's too different because
it's such a rush.
Yeah, and it's not like an exciting kind of rush. It's not like
it's like we have to finish the film.
It's like
kind of.
Since when did he accept he was Santa Claus and decide that he was going to literally live at the North Pole for a month? Like, there was nothing, and then you don't get to see that happen. Like, you see weird snapshots, and then they're going to Christmas. Like, you don't even see
right.
Like,
it's like
him
boom,
growing
boom,
into his
boom,
role.
Boom, boom.
As Santa Claus, like, there's no gradual release at the North Pole end. It's literally just like, oh, okay, he's deciding, and he decided, and then it, like, all happens.
It's like, ah! Just the rest of the way through.
It's really rushed, and it's very strange, and it just feels very weird.
I think part of the reason it also feels weird to me, personally, is that, like, this, it takes so long for him to come to terms with being Santa, in terms of, like, the hour and a halfness of the film. But, like,
yeah.
Inside of that, every moment is still rushed, and then you get to the end, and it's just, like, a downhill, like, scream. Like,
yeah.
There's, you know, it starts out, he picks up Charlie, it's Christmas Eve, well, like, his ex-wife drops off Charlie, it's Christmas Eve, Santa falls off the roof, they deliver all of the presents, whatever. Then it's like, and that all is like, boom, and then it's done. And then, like, nothing is happening, and then boom, he starts gaining all of the weight, and then boom, he's Santa Claus. It's like, so long, but comprised of so many oddly paced moments in between.
It's a bunch of little bursts, and it's really weird because you're never quite sure how much he believes he's Santa Claus or not. Like, there'll be like a burst of something where you're like, oh, he thinks this is Santa, real, and he believes Charlie, and he's Santa. And then there'll be like a fallout of like, nope, he still thinks he's Scott Calvin and definitely a normal person in no way, shape, or form Santa Claus. And then there'll be another burst. And then a fallout. So, like, it was this weird up and down of you never knew quite what he believed himself. So then when he decides to believe he's Santa Claus and it actually sticks, that's part of what feels the weirdest. You're like, wait, no, when did this actual decision happen? What was the impetus for, like, actually believing that he's Santa Claus now and just fully embracing it and moving to the North Pole and doing all these really important things that are kind of just thrown into the movie at the end without the same kind of care or explanation that the other parts of the movie were given up until that point.
Right. I think it's weird. I really like The Santa Claus. It's one of my, like, weird favorite Christmas films, but, like, there's a lot of stuff about it that is just badly considered, let's say. It's stuff that just, they didn't, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, why would he start to believe, why would he believe he's Santa, and then no he doesn't, and then he believes he's Santa, and then no he doesn't, now he believes he's Santa, and the movie's over. Like,
right. Well, and for a movie that hinges on things making sense, like, their whole point is to make sense of the fallacies in the Santa argument, like, to provide those answers for how he gets around the world so fast with the time stuff, and how he fits down the chimneys, even when there are no chimneys. Like, the whole point of the movie is to, like, make sense of the Santa stuff, and then their own Santa stuff, they just let happen however they like.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to try to make sense of that.
Which I think is what is going to probably bring us to our ultimate bad idea.
I think it's a great jumping off point. I would agree with that.
All right. So, for the record, this bad idea is something that we've kind of touched on before. Like, that it just, it's,
in general,
in terms of this show, like, of all ideas are bad ideas, like, it is a bad idea that we bring up reasonably frequently. So, you've got this movie, presumably for children and families, wherein the premise is man murders Santa Claus and becomes Santa Claus through some means of magic? Question mark? We guess? Probably.
Yeah.
But
magic.
That magic is, at best, poorly defined magic. Which is really strange because, like, it is spoken of like a legal contract. It is the Santa Claus within
it's
E.
supposed to be super specific and very
legally
legal.
Binding. Like, and legal things, the whole point of the, like, when people read legalese and they're like, this doesn't make any sense, the problem is that, like, it makes too much sense. They've covered too many things. It's very exacting because they want everything covered. And the Santa Claus, the literal magical law of Santa Clausing, of becoming the big man himself, of being Kris Kringle, Topo Gigio, whatever you want to call him, from that scene in the police office, it's crazy. It, like, there are so many loopholes. It doesn't make a lick of sense. For it to be something that is discussed as being, like, a legal clause, it is nutball.
Well, and for something that's the premise of not one movie, but three, it's a very flawed system. And we talked about this in the Narnia episode, which is why we kind of bring it up now, that it's a similar bad idea, but that doesn't keep it from being the biggest bad idea in this movie. Because it, just like when we talked about Chronicles of Narnia, it drives the characters' interactions and the plot throughout the entire thing. I mean, it is the basis upon which the movie even happens. So for it to have so much weirdness in it that does not actually make sense is a pretty bad idea.
Right. I think, personally, the first thing that I just want to bring up here is going to pull in a sequel, because, like, every time I think about this, it freaks me out. So, Santa Claus, right? He's on Scott Calvin's roof. Santa Claus 1, we'll call him, for, you know, want of a better term. So, like, Santa Claus 1 is up there. Scott comes out and says, "Hey, you," or whatever he says. Santa slides off the roof and dies. And then he vanishes. We presume he's dead. We don't really know what happens to him. Probably with the magic number one.
Scott never checked. He never, like, actually looked, took a pulse, or tried to do CPR or, like, anything to save this guy's life.
He was just like, he's dead!
He was just like, waved a hand over his face, got no response, and then Charlie came out and was like, "Hey, Dad, you killed Santa Claus." Great. This is a great
story. And he's like, "Yep, I killed Santa." So, but, I mean, I think it's reasonable to assume that the Santa Claus is probably dead, because
I'm sure
he vanishes.
I wanted to point out the fact that, like, it was
Scott
never
doesn't
actually established, and he kind of just disappears in a very magical fashion, so it's a weird kind of death.
Right! He's just gone! Which is weirdness of the Santa magic number one. Santa just vanishes, like, that's what happens to him.
That's what happens when you die as a Santa Claus. You just, like,
poof.
Gone.
Gone. Which brings me to some other craziness, and we're gonna have to talk about the sequels for the thing that disturbs me most about the death of Santa 1.
Yeah.
So, the entire premise of the Santa Claus 2 is the Mrs. Claus, which is, you know, Scott starts turning back into Scott because he hasn't gotten married. There isn't a Mrs. Claus. There is only a Santa Claus. And according to the magic of the Santa Claus, you have to have a Mrs. Claus. It's the next part of the magic.
Yeah.
So, for Santa 1 to have been Santa, like, we can surmise that there was a Mrs. Claus 1. So when Santa 1 dies, what on God's green earth happens to Mrs. Claus 1? Because we get to the North Pole, and, well, first of all, the elves are very excited about new Santa, which leads me to a whole host of other questions about how bad Santa 1 must have treated them. Where is Mrs.
Elves.
Claus 1?
Right.
Like, what happened to her? Does she also just vanish from existence? Because, like, that is a depressing state of reality for whomever becomes Mrs. Claus. Like, way to take away all of her agency as a human individual by tying her very life force to another person. Or does she just turn back into who she was before she was Mrs. Claus? Like, happens to Mrs.
And it
Claus?
It brings up really interesting questions about immortality. Because, like, the Santa Claus, you can assume, because of this kind of ongoing thing, and the fact that the elves are so weirdly blasé about the fact that the guy who left the North Pole did not actually come back alive, he died, and then another person came back, and they were like, "Oh well, you're the new Santa." Like, the fact that they're so blasé about that means that this has happened again and again and again. So, like, how does that work? Does every Santa Claus have a normal human lifespan until they die, and then somebody else becomes Santa Claus? Or are they immortal until they die on the job? Because, like, the way this works, right, is whoever reads the card is the new Santa, which I will get into that, because that's also
whoever puts on the suit. They don't even have to have fully read the card, like,
right?
Because Scott didn't. Like, he just put the suit on and then he delivered the presents and he was Santa.
Yeah, well, that's the clause. Yes, so the suit, or the card is the clause, and then the suit is the binding element. So yeah, whoever, like, finds the suit and puts it on. So, like, you have to die on the job in order for there to be another Santa Claus, which is a really weird, specific termination of your life. Like, you are this person, and you cannot die unless you're working on Christmas as Santa Claus. So
right.
Santas have died consistently on Christmas, and people have found them, which is weirdly disturbing.
Or Santa has been murdered countless times. Like, there is also, like, accidental death, which is basically what happens.
Hinges on somebody's death.
And on somebody else, like, accidentally or not stumbling upon the leftover clothing of said dead person and putting it on moments after that person died in it.
Yeah, which, like, I mean, Scott didn't want to do that. It was only because Charlie pressured him into it. Like, what if they just don't? Like, what if they get tossed in a gutter somewhere? Like,
right.
There's too many... there's too many things that could go wrong with this plan for it to have worked for, like, thousands of years without issue.
Right. Is that why the ELFS people exist? Have they gone to kill incompetent Santas?
Are they Santa murderers? It's just, it's very, again,
stupid.
This is a children and families movie. So to have the entire magic that this is based upon have these weirdly disturbing, like,
undercurrents?
Like, it revolves around Santa's death. Like, it really does. That's the whole
This
idea.
Entire movie would not have happened if the big man himself had not frickin' died in the first 5 minutes.
Well, and that always felt weird to me because, like, he's dead and it's kind of weird, but whatever. You can move past it for plot reasons, but, like, he's dead and then, like, as soon as they turn their back on the body, it, like,
the body
waves
gone.
Goodbye at them and then disappears. So, like, what? Was he not actually dead? Or was he dead and this was, like, some weird Santa spirit thing being like, farewell, your job now? Like, did he embrace the coming of death? Was he alive for too long? Did he want to pass on the job to somebody else? Is this, like, a Dead Like Me thing where the next Reaper's like, haha, sucker, your turn, and then, like, leaves? Like, what is going on
with
the Santa?
We just don't know. And, okay, so you talked about, like, the spirit of Santa or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, Scott puts on the suit, and then, like, not only does his physical appearance begin to change, but, like, he starts to behave Santa-ly. Like, so there's, okay, a really, really, like, concrete and obvious example of it in the film is the first Christmas Eve flight. He comes down that little girl's chimney and is like, I'm not going to drink your milk, I'm lactose intolerant.
Right.
He comes,
and
the year
passes.
And
he's joking to be snarky. Like, he's literally just doing it to kind of be an asshole. Like, because he's pissed about the job.
Right. And so he, like, leaves the milk. The next year, he comes back to the same little girl's house. He comes down the chimney. He drinks the milk. He says it tastes sour. And the girl says that, she left him soy milk, right? So, like, you've got on the, I always sort of took at face value that he was lactose intolerant. I don't know if I should. But, like, then you've got, like, a opinion, like, now, like, he really likes milk and cookies. He didn't before. He didn't want to drink it, like, then. And now he's like, yeah, I got my milk and cookies. Your milk is bad.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and before he was really driven by his sales and his job, but he had no problem with lying. And, like, now he's, like, you know, he's all about the kids that he's helping out and the families. And, like, there's a huge personality change. And I think people just accept it because it kind of made him a better person. Like, it turned him into less of a dick. But, like, that doesn't mean that he didn't have a core personality change. Like, sometimes he'll say a snarky comment, and you're like, yeah, that's still Scott in there. But then, for the most part, like, for probably 80% of the time, he's a very different person.
Right.
Like,
it's
completely different.
It raises a really weird question about, like, if you become Santa Claus, are you Santa Claus and not whoever you were before? Like, is Scott Calvin still Scott Calvin, or is he just Santa Claus now? Like, is his unique identity as a human being subsumed into the mythical monostructure of the Santa Claus by the magic of the Santa Claus with an E?
Right. Well, and you have to imagine that that at least happens partway, because you can see it. I mean, and you know that he doesn't disappear completely. It's not like he leaves his family and doesn't recognize his own son. Like, it's not like he, like, turns into, like, this Santa Claus. But, like, so there's still parts of his personality that are in there, but he's definitely a different person. And, like you said, I mean, what, he doesn't even have a job or a house. Like, he just lives at the North Pole. I was talking about weird immortal contingencies. Like, he might live for longer than the average human being, depending on how that magic works. Like, until he himself is somehow killed being Santa Claus. Like, so, for all intents and purposes, Scott Calvin does disappear. Like, he ceases to exist as a person so that Santa Claus can continue as a mythological entity.
Right. It's bizarre. It's shockingly dark, which I think is the hallmark of this film. Like, shockingly dark. If you think about it more than at a surface level, this movie is, like, not only is there this weird magical thing, but, like, there is a kidnapping. And, like, the movie starts with a murder. Like, Merry Christmas, everybody!
Right. Well, and the thing about the spirit of Santa is that it would explain why the elves are so kind of, like, whatever about the old Santa being killed. Because I'd imagine to them, all the Santas are kind of the same. Like, it's always just Santa. So, like, that one awkward year in which the guy who's Santa doesn't quite feel like Santa, I mean, and they live hundreds of years at a time. So, like, the elves don't really care. Like, it's like a day right. where Santa's kind of off, and then, like, for the rest of the time, he's completely normal. So, like, it would explain why when the sled came back with a completely different person, they were fine, because they're always with Santa and not necessarily with the, like, human individuals that end up becoming Santa.
Right.
Like, it's this weird kind of personnel symbiosis thing.
And it's a little bit creepy.
Little bit. Probably why I liked this movie so much. I kind of like, Christmas sometimes has that weird creepy edge to it. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what the weird underground connection is between Halloween ideas and Christmas ideas, but it's certainly there because people make that connection all the time, and it can be kind of fun. Like, I kind of like this darker edge of Christmas.
It's not like, you know, in Victorian England, like, a popular Christmas Eve tradition was telling ghost stories.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
it's Christmas
like
is always a little
nature.
Bit dark.
Yeah.
It's the darkest time of the year, too. I mean, it falls, you know, it usually falls days after the
winter solstice.
Yes, thank you. I was like, my brain was like, autumnal equinox. And I was like, no, it's not that one. It's the other one. It's the next one. Anyway. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So it's not a terrible idea. But honestly, as far as a kids and family movie goes, and as far as kind of having
logic.
Yeah, as far as logic and the actual premise of your movie, it was a bad idea to not think this one through a little bit more and make it a little bit more clear cut and maybe a little bit less gruesome.
Yeah, that's all we ask for. Mildly less gruesome.
Just a little bit.
So we're going to leave you on this shockingly dark note for Christmas and, you know, ho 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 or whatever. But if you enjoyed our romp through this classic 90s children's and family Christmas film, we would really appreciate it if you would take a second to rate or review our podcast on iTunes. It helps people find us if we get good ratings, and it's always nice for people to find us. And if you want to help people find us even more concretely, if you have a friend that you think might enjoy this, then go ahead, tell them, send them to us, tell them to come listen to the shockingly dark interpretation of what is supposed to be a pretty lighthearted children's movie.
Yep, because we're good at overthinking things. Also, if you ever want to find any of our links to anything, you can always visit our website. That is allideasarebadideas.wordpress.com. One of the links on there is to our coffee page, spelled Ko-Fi. And that link lets you donate real small sums of money to us. So if you're really feeling the Christmas spirit and you think we deserve it, you could head over that way and throw a couple of bucks at us. Whatever you think we deserve.
So, this has been All Ideas... Ooh, I'm gonna start that bad boy over. So this has been All Ideas or Bad Ideas on... I'm still failing. I don't know how to say this right. That's all for this week's episode of All Ideas or Bad Ideas, you guys.
We'll see you on Christmas.